Now listen, let me show you from the Word of God how you can go to work no matter where it is and have the joy of the Lord. Listen, it says there, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill's series in the Epistle of Ephesians continues. Today's message is titled, To the Lord and Not to Man. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. As you turn there, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." And all the church says, amen. You know, as we're nearly complete with this great study in Ephesians, I really love this epistle, guys. I mean, no wonder it's been called the supreme book of the New Testament, which it certainly is. And we've been learning how to truly walk worthy of our calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know that by now you know what worthy means. It means equal in doctrine, the things that we have learned, and equal in applying those doctrines. And that's how you have a balanced walk or a worthy walk that pleases our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to leave behind now marriage and the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the obedience that the children are called to, the Christian home, if you will. And we're going to right now move outside all of that. And we're going to move, if you will, to a teaching that it seems out of place, but it's not. And it's the master-slave relationship. And, you know, we could say, Paul, all of a sudden he shifts everything, and why is that even included? Well, if you notice that when we start out with the word submission there in verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord, or submitting yourselves one to another, that mutual submission, this whole chapter until we get down to verse 9 is about submitting unto the Lord. Amen? So we understand that children should obey their father and their mother, honor their father and mother. And that word obey there is the same word that is used, we'll find out in a moment, for slaves, bond servants, if you will, obeying their masters. Now, with all of that being said, it's very important as we set up these verses that may appear to you to be out of place in Paul's letter, but they're really not at all. Because what he is doing, he's talking to first century believers. This is not for us today in a sense, but it is for us, okay? So first thing we have to do is we have to understand that verses 5 through 9, we have to understand them in the historical context. Again, this is first century. This is not 21st century. Amen? Are you guys with me? Okay, so when we look now at the wickedness of slavery in the days of the Apostle Paul, the first century, it was wicked, it was horrible. Any kind of slavery is horrible, but to that type of mindset in that world, it was considered essential. In Paul's day, now listen, in Paul's day throughout the Roman Empire, matter of fact, in the first century, I looked this up last night, the census, in other words, at that time, there were approximately 300 million people that lived on this planet. Now, in Rome, there were over 60 million slaves. Think about that. Now, what they did. The Romans, when they captured nations and cities and villages, they would take captive people. A lot of the people, a tremendous majority of the people that they captured and put into bondage and put into slavery, some were doctors. Some were highly educated, very skilled, and so forth. They were educators, and as a matter of fact, they were a lot of the people that they brought into slavery. They were more cultured and had more wisdom than the masters had. Do you understand? So, with all that being said, here they are. Rome is filled with slaves. Matter of fact, there's so many slaves in Rome, you could not tell if you went out on the street during a busy day, you could not tell who was a slave and who wasn't a slave. It was that many people. So that was the way of life, but also you have to remember the bondage of slavery then or anywhere, that the owner of a human being, the saddest, sickest thing in the world, they had the right, especially in Rome, they could, for any reason, they could sell the person, female, male, sell them, or they could even have them executed if they did not please them. It was a very sad thing. So that's the first thing we need to know, is to keep it in historical context. The second place thing that we need to know is verses 5 through 9 are addressed only to Christians. They're not. It's not addressed to unbelievers at all, the lost. So here it's addressed to slaves, Christian slaves, and to Christian masters, if you will. Now, the lost, the reason it's not addressed to the lost is because the lost could never obey verses 5 through 9. You see, only a new creation can obey verses 5 through 9. Amen? You have to be born again, and you also have to be filled with the Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is so important. You know, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. That's a daily thing. It's a command, by the way. So we know that when a person comes to Christ, amen, they're one, you know? It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. It says, whether you were a Jew, whether you were a Greek, whether you were a male, whether you were female, whether you were slave or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Slavery is the most wicked, demonic thing that has ever entered into the heart of fallen man. Slavery is literally man's inhumanity against man. You know, only God and no one else can set the slave free. Amen? You remember, if you go back and start studying out slavery in the Word of God, for example, it goes all the way back to the children of Israel who were in bondage for 400 years to Pharaoh there in Egypt. But God, He's the one who freed them. He's the one who freed us. And in reality, there are only two kinds of people on this planet. There are those who are slaves to sin. They don't have an option. They're natural man. They're in Adam. They're slaves to sin, whether they believe it or not. And then the other kind of person is a person who is a slave to righteousness, to holiness, to sanctification. And that is the new creation in Christ, the new birth. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, I want to, since we're talking about the wickedness of slavery, it's very important to know that this text that we're reading, verses 5 through 9, have absolutely nothing to do with the slavery that occurred in our nation pre-Civil War and after, you know, while the war was fought. Listen, for the body of Christ in that generation to take those verses out of context is one of the most wicked things I believe has ever happened in our nation. It is incredible to me that they would take something in the first century that doesn't even apply to them and use that to do what they did. Now, with all of that being said this morning, it's important that you understand that nowhere in God's Word does He condone slavery. Do you understand that? Y'all with me? Okay, now let me say something else about it too. Until the day that we observe, we stand, and we all as a family of God, we see the devil cast into the lake of fire. Only then will the slavery of men end on this planet. Matter of fact, did you know that even during the Great Tribulation period, slaves are still going to be made? Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that when the man of sin, that Antichrist, the masterpiece of Satan, whenever he shows up, you know what it says is going to happen to the world? In Revelation 13:16, it says that this man, this wicked Antichrist, he causes all, everyone that doesn't have God's number on their forehead, if you will, or his name written, he causes all. And listen to the six different types, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave, there it is in the great tribulation period, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. So you have the right hand, that's considered fellowship, the foreheads, the mind, will of person, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. Those who take the mark in the great tribulation period, that is one sin that can never be forgiven, never. And that person can never be saved if they take the mark of the beast. They are now condemned for all eternity. Matter of fact, I may be teaching a Revelation after I finish up with Ephesians. Not sure yet, I'm praying about that. Now, with all of that being said, those are the two reasons. Let me give you the third reason this morning before we begin our text. If we're going to make proper application, where we truly can relate to what's being said here, we have to bring what Paul is saying up to the 21st century and make proper application to us this morning. So in verses 5 through 8, the word bondservant or slave, let's change that, and it's perfectly okay to do that, not change it, changing the word of God, but to where that word bondservant, we can also use employee. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay? And matter of fact, some translations just say employ. Now, so we can change bondservants there to employees. And then on verse 9 where it says masters, we can call that Christian employers, okay? Those who own a company or Christian bosses or whatnot. So remember, this is addressed only to believers, not to unbelievers. And remember also that when Paul wrote this epistle there from prison, over again, half of the population of the Roman time was slaves. Now, who do you think were the first ones to hear the good news? Slaves, the poor people. Amen. They gladly received, and they were all born again. Now listen, not all, but you know what I meant. So here's what happened. Here you have a slave. Maybe he's from some other nation. He was captured, and when Rome went in, and now he heard Paul, or he heard one of the apostles, someone, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and Jesus became his Lord. So here's the slave, but now you have the master, and he now hears the good news, and he is born again. So now let's say, for example, to bring it up to the 21st century, here we are, I'm a slave and you're my master, you know, but now, hello, now we're both brothers. You see, we're breaking bread together. We're opening the scriptures together. We're praying for other people together. Amen? We're praying together, and then I have to leave the service and go to your house and wash your dishes. Are y'all with me? Now, can you see how all of a sudden the confusion set in? Now you know why this is first century. Now you know why Paul, before we even get into the warfare, why the Holy Spirit told him to put this in there, because there were over, like I said, 60 million slaves there in the Roman area. Now, with all of that being said, I want you to begin now in verse 5, and let's look at our text. He starts off with the word doulos, which means bondservant, which literally is slave. It's where the will of another person, his will is now swallowed up in the will of his master to do whatever he wants. He is a slave. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. That word, kurios, same word used for our Lord. Can you believe that? I am your owner now. I am your master, and so forth. He says, be obedient to those who are your masters, Christian masters, by the way, according to the flesh. And how are you going to do it? Fear, trembling, singleness, or sincerity of heart as to Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. What would happen if every Christian in America, every Christian walked worthy of this one verse? Think about that. Would the American workplace be changed forever? Oh, man, come on, guys. It would be unbelievable. In other words, he says, you be obedient to your boss. All right? That word literally means be constantly obedient. And that means also something else. If you're going to be obedient to your boss, your employer, your Christian boss, or your unchristian boss, you're obedient to him, whether he's fair, whether he is unfair, whether he's a joke, you know what I mean. Amen? Whether he's a good boss or whether he is a bad boss. Christians, Paul says, God says, Christians should be the most faithful, hardworking, honest, productive people on this planet. Amen? That's a good word. Man, listen, I like that. In other words, you represent Jesus Christ. I mean, when you go to work, you know, you get to work, you should get there on time. Well, there was 5 red lights, and I had to answer 10 texts. No, you know what drives me crazy is I'm working in my office. We're all allowed to have cell phones here, okay? And but then you'll hear them, bing, bing, bing. And I want to go, hey, don't read that. You're on Jesus' time. They're here, you see. So I'm loving them. They don't know that, huh? You know? Yeah. You see? I got to go check my mail. No, don't check your mail. Do it on your lunch break. Amen? And if you're working for a company, well, I'm the evangelist. Well, if you're going to do that, you're being paid to work, not be the evangelist. Do it on your lunch break and do it other. Matter of fact, why don't you just do it by your actions? Because when they see that you don't take advantage of people and use people and say, man, and be a slacker, you know what? They go, there's something different about you. And they're going to ask you at the lunch break, why do you work so hard for this guy? He's a jerk. And I say, and I'll tell you why in a minute, okay? Now, if you're employed by a Christian company, don't take advantage of the Christian company. Amen? Oh, listen. You know, just I'm a Christian. I work for this company, and they're all Christians. And you don't get special treatment from your boss. Do you understand? When the lost people, well, that's a lost person. No, we're all, that's not the way it works. So you have to serve the Lord with a proper mindset and a proper heart set. Look at verse 5 now again, and look at the way we do it. It says that you're obedient, slaves or employees, be obedient to those, to your employers. Now here's how it says to do it, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Now listen, can you believe that? It says obey with fear and trembling, obey with singleness of heart. I promise you that when I arrive at the office every day at this place, there is no trembling that goes on. Matter of fact, they ignore me when I walk through. They don't even say good morning to me. Do you understand? There's no fear. There's no trembling. There's no obedience. I'm going to get to what that means in a little bit, okay? But this is more than just respecting, do you understand, your boss. That's why this is so very important. The believer, the Spirit-filled believer here in verse 5, you don't obey because of your employer. You obey because of your Savior. Amen? Look what it says. Trembling, sincerity of heart, as to whom? As to Jesus, our Lord. Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many slaves or bondservants that are under the yoke count their own masters, their employers, worthy of all honor. You know, you work hard for them, so that the name of God and his doctrine is not blasphemed. Now, and those who have believing employers or masters, it says, let them not despise them because they are brothers, they're brothers. Rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. So in other words, if you work for a Christian company, you have a Christian boss, don't take advantage of him. Amen? You work for the Lord. The Bible tells us this. What was Paul trying to tell Timothy? Or not trying, but what he did tell him. He was saying, Timothy, listen, if we have people that are working that are believers for whoever it might be, show them, demonstrate who they really are by the power of a transformed life. In other words, there's a difference. When you see a Christian working and an unbeliever, there's a difference, really. Did you know that? There really is. The Bible tells us, it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, Christian, it says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's the title of this sermon, by the way, as to the Lord and not to men. And the reason? Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And here's why. For you serve the Lord Christ. Now listen, I know what it's like to work for a company or a person or whatnot that you just, it's all you can do. You don't want to go to work. Have you ever been there? You go in, it's like, oh God, please, do I have to go today? You know, because I mean, you've probably worked for people like I have. You know, I remember when I started out years ago, before I became a home builder, when I was learning how to do carpentry and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had a guy, you know how he trained me? He would sit in his truck and drink whiskey, and he would honk his horn when I did something wrong. Honest to God, you think I'm kidding. And he kept honking until I finally got it right. You know? I mean, I was going, what? Lord, I mean, come on. So all the things, I mean, go through all of your life. Man, if you're old as I am, you've been with a lot of different people. You know, and some of you go, I can't stand working there. Now listen, let me show you from the Word of God how you can go to work no matter where it is and have the joy of the Lord. Listen, it says there, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So do you really want to go and enjoy your job? Then here's the deal. You must understand this, no matter what you do, you may be a doctor, you may be a plumber, you may be a school teacher, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do not do that for men, you do it for the Lord. Do you understand? I don't mind working for the Lord, do you? No. I mean, I didn't tell people that, but I wanted to at times. You know, I don't work for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't work for you. I work for the Lord, man. You know, I told you this story. I worked for a Christian one time. And he was a multimillionaire, and his home was about, I don't know, 14,000 square feet, whatever it was. And there was a room in his house. And you know how rich people, and I'm not condemning rich people, I would be happy to be rich because I would not take over my life. But their homes are huge. The millionaires, they like big places. And, you know, so this person who was a believer, one room in his house, it had a name, and I don't want to say what it was, but anyway, it was bigger than this room right here. Can you believe that? And the walls were all brick. So I go over there, and he says, hey, Bill, here's what I need. You see this wall right here, or the whole room? I said, yeah. He says, I want to change the color of the brick. I said, okay, and you want to paint it out. That's right. And so I went to the Jones, whatever it's called, Kelly Moore, whatever you get, the fan of colors, and I brought it to him. He says, okay, this is the color I want. I love this color. I said, great. I said, I'll go by tomorrow. You'll see, on the wall. So that evening, I had bought the paint, put a piece on the wall, right? Yeah, a sample. Are you with me? A sample. You like that color, okay? Well, so I did that, and next morning I showed up, and he said, where'd you paint, Bill? I said, right there. He said, that little square? I said, well, it's just a sample. Did you like it? He says, oh, you don't understand. I want the entire wall painted. And I said, that wall is 60 feet long. I said, you want that color that you don't even know that you want? I didn't say that. I didn't. I wanted to say that. I said, let me make sure I understand. Because, see, I thought I was losing my mind. I said, you want me to paint that entire wall? Yeah. Then I'll know if I really like it or not. I said, okay. Painted that entire wall. Oh, yeah. Came back the next day. I don't like that color. I said, you don't like that color? So he picked another color. Now, let me speed this up. 17 times. I painted that wall 17 times. 17 different colors. You can ask Becky. And he come in every day. I was looked at him and, good to see you. You know, it's like, I mean, if he went 18, I don't know what would have happened. So guess what color he picked after 17 colors? The very first color. Now, how did I endure that? I didn't work for him. I painted that wall 17 times for Jesus. Amen.
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow to finish this message along with us. Amen. Thanks for listening to the broadcast today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.